Blog Talk Radio.
Intercessors session, and we are excited to be with you this morning to share what the Father is saying to us, through us, what is for the body in this season, that we might be sustained as we need to be to move into the positions and assignments that we're being called into for the final showdown. It's the rise and the roar of manifesting sons this morning, innovating, creating. We are the sons of the Most High Yah, and divine warfare frequency is going forth. It's been downloaded into every son in the earth, and there will be a resounding and a rebounding. There's a cry of the sons of Yah that is moving across the face of the earth, and the heavenly hosts have been released. They are being dispatched to our aid. They are being dispersed to our aid, that we might hear, that we might know, that we might be directed, that we might receive the answers that we've been praying for. Thank you this morning for joining the Manifesting Sons as we're in session of prophetic intercession. And during this season of our breakthrough, we're going to be hearing, we're going to be receiving, we're going to know, because this is our divine function, to hear, to receive, to see, to know. These are divine functions of sons, and this is the era of the rise and the roar of the sun. So there will not be one ear that doesn't hear this roar that's going to come out of the sons of Yah. There are portals of grace and glory that are going to be opened as we're listening and as we are seeing. We'll be becoming all that we were born to be in this season. And so for the next 21 days, there's going to be a session here of uncommon victory. Things are going to be discussed. Words are going to be released that are going to move you into your next day. Okay, because the Father is calling his sons into our proper identity, and our divine acquisition is right before us. There's something that he's calling us to. There's a place that he's desiring to set us up in. There is an establishment. There is a, it's not a settlement. It's a, it's a place of peace. It's a place of, there's a word that I'm looking for that people are often talking about, just being settled. It's not settled that I'm looking for. It is established. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's an establishment. He's following after his word to perform it. And there are things that are in your heart and in your mind that you've heard him say to you over the course of your life, specific things that are repetitive conversations. The Father is saying, this is where I'm calling you to. And this is what I'm calling you to. And the purpose of the what and the where is for what you're going to do and for who you're going to encounter there and for who you're going to impact there. So I'm excited about this. I'm really excited about what the Father is doing. I'm excited about the shift. Good morning to those that are coming on the line. We're just grateful to be here with you this morning. I'm going to open up the line and let those on are just good morning to the people. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am blessed.
We's here.
Yes.
We's here and we's ready. We's here and we's ready to hear and to speak and to receive. Hallelujah, what the Father is saying to us this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you this morning for who you are and for what you've already done. Thank you that you have called us into this place for this purpose and for this time. We give you praise and glory for who you are. First of all, you are the God of all gods. You are higher than any other authority in the earth because you created everything for your good pleasure. And so we thank you this morning for your position. Thank you that you are our Father. Hallelujah. We thank you and hallow your name this morning. We declare that your name is holy and everything about who you are and what you are is all encompassed in your name. We're thankful this morning that you're the God that defends us. You're the God that fights for us. You are the God that elevates. You are the God that recreates. You are the God that reestablishes. You are the God that restores. And so this morning, we come to you thankful. We come to you thankful this morning. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and we enter into your courts with praise because you are worthy of all praise. From the time we rise in the morning to the time our eyes close at night, you have proven your faithfulness in every day of our lives. Since the time we've been alive, you've been proving your faithfulness. We thank you for deliverance this morning. We thank you for freedom. We thank you this morning, Father, that your desire is towards good and not of evil to give us a good and expected end. So therefore, anything else that is coming towards us, that is coming to give us another expectation, anything else that is coming for us that is attempting to give us another ending, Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. We take captive every thought to the obedience of what the master showed us. We take every thought into captivity. And as I'm saying that this morning, and he's taken me back to that mountain, I believe Matthew 24:24, where the master is having this engagement with the adversary, that thing that's working in him. And he's taking captive the thoughts. There are thoughts that are going through his head. There are thoughts, things that are being discussed with him, options that are being presented, but he's taking captive the thought. And so as you have declared for us to take captive every thought and to bring it into the obedience of the Mashiach, it's the way that he did a thing. You know, he took it captive, and the way that he took it captive was to know what you had spoken to him, to know the word that had been given to him. Father, we hide the word in our hearts this morning. We hide the word in our hearts. We want to please you above all that we do. We want to please you. We want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, the things that we are meditating on, to be the things that are acceptable to you. We don't want to be outside of what you desire. We don't want to be outside of what you love and what you like. We want to be right in line with what you're saying and what you're doing. We want to be right in line with what pleases you. So show us today how to move, how to be. Show us today as you are showing and revealing yourself in this moment, as you are giving us more of you in this moment. We are giving you our yes again this morning, but it's still our final yes. It's still our final yes. And so we thank you this morning that you've given us the grace for the yes, that you've not only given us the grace for the yes, but the grace to actualize it, to carry it to its full term. We thank you this morning for the conception of your word that you're going to plant in us this morning, Father. May we cover it with our lives. May we cover it with everything that's in us, that we would not allow darkness to take this seed that you're planting, that we would not allow the wicked one to come, the devourer to come and to take away or to steal away the seeds of your word that you are planting in us, not just for memorization, but for actualization. There's a purpose that you're giving us this word that we might know how we need to stand. Hallelujah. How we need to stand in the evil day. The word says, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. There's something that we need to have on. There's an armor that we need to have on. There, the loins being girt about us with truth. There's something that we need to put on and that we need to keep on. And so if there's any chink in our armor this morning, if there's any damage, Father, may we identify the damage in the armor and be able to give that to you this morning, that it might be fixed, that we might identify where those things are, that we might have angelic assistance to fix the things that we need to fix so that we'll be covered. Bring to our attention by way of your Holy Spirit every truth, every place of truth in ourselves, every place of truth in our identity, every place of truth in how we're functioning, every place of truth, because it's the truth that makes us free. We thank you for the truth this morning, the Son that you sent. He was our example. He showed us how to live in these earth suits. He showed us how to walk, and many sons before him would give us insight and help us to identify how we should be moving, but he sealed the deal. And so we thank you this morning for the sealing of the deal, the sealing of the deal this morning. We thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. You chose us, and we can't take that for granted. You chose us to be your voice in the earth. You chose us to be your imager in the earth. You chose us to reflect who you are. Hallelujah. And so we thank you right now that in every way, the reflection of you is being visible, is being made clear, is being made visible in every encounter that we have, and every person that we meet is going to see you in us, no matter whether we're doing business, whether we're just whatever business we're doing in the moment. It's just we want people to see you. We know that there are people that are looking, family members. You know, there's that family dynamic that we have. And for your glory, you're raising us up into a place so that people will see that it is you, that we don't have to go all these different ways, that we don't have to do all these different things, but trusting you with all our heart, not leaning to the understanding that we think we have, is how we get direction. And so we're thankful this morning that you are making us an example. There are many ways to be made an example, but your desire is to make us examples to the people that are looking on, that they might see your grace and your glory, that they might see your faithfulness, that they might honor you and see the good works that we're doing and begin to give you glory. We thank you this morning. As we're sharing this morning, let everything that you speak this morning penetrate our heart in a way that we become pregnant with these words that you're speaking, to carry it to full term, that we begin to get revelation and understanding and then birth the thing over and over again until we are full. We are full. We thank you this morning and we love you. And it is so. I just believe that the Father is given us such a competitive edge in this season, and we've got to really tap into that. This is what the contending is for, but he's given us a grace to contend. You know, one of the things that he was speaking to me the other day is how we perceive things as everything. We often consider David as the underdog in the David and Goliath situation, but the reality was that he was not the underdog by any means. David had already been trained. He had already been tempered for a certain level of warfare because of his passion about his purpose. In the season, his purpose was to keep the sheep. He was passionate about that purpose. And the word says that anything that we do, we should do it with all of our strength. Well, anything that we lay our hands to, we should do it with all of our strength. He was very serious about that assignment that was given to him. And in that assignment, he took time to worship. In that assignment, he took time to rest. He had all of these different dynamics about this assignment that was given to him. But one of the things that I love about it is that, you know, when it comes to this David and Goliath situation, there's some things that we overlook. There's some things that we overlook. The confidence of David is outstanding. It's epic, the confidence. And we were talking about the difference between confidence and stupidity the other day. This is really necessary that we understand that our confidence is not in ourselves or in our ability, but it's in him and in our availability to be used by him. That confidence, it speaks to mountains. That confidence uproots things. That confidence walks with our head up and our shoulders back because we know who we are. It's one of the things that we say in our times of prayer at 12, 3, 6, and 9. The first thing that always comes out of my mouth is, I thank you that I know who I am. That's the goal when you get into the earth, is to begin to identify who you are. Because if you know who you are, you'll know who you're not. And that is authenticity. That is truth. Once you know who you are not, you can only function as who you are. Once you are passionate about that and become married to that idea and that concept, it's the only way that you will function. So I'm just thankful for the competitive edge that the Father has given the sons and the grace to contend. David was not the underdog. He was very confident in who he was. Was there an issue of confidence here, but you got to remember that Goliath was not on the field by himself. Of course, neither was David. The Father was there with him. However, from a physical standpoint, Goliath had someone holding his shield. I believe, there are some things that go along with giantism. I just want to talk about that for a hot second, things that we overlook. The things that go along with being bigger than normal, when we look at that in dogs, and we'll just look at it in the animal kingdom for a moment, did you ever notice that the dogs that have those bigger statures, they live shorter, they have a shorter life expectancy, they have a lot of issues with their bones, because their bones, it's the way that they were formed. It doesn't sustain the weight well. Well, a lot of times you got to think about this too, larger animals, these larger dogs, are a result of merging different dog types, different pedigrees. And so in the mixing of those pedigrees, you get this larger dog, but he's got a lot of problems because he's dealing with a host of issues from the one thing and the host of issues. That thing combined creates a whole nother situation. I'm thinking about Goliath, and there's this thing, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a mass on the head. It's often a cancerous mass. It's not a cancerous mass as in it's something that spreads throughout the body, but it's something about this giantism, this thing where people are much larger than the average person, that they have these things that they contend with. And one of those things is that mass that forms on the head. Well, that affects the ability to see. So my thought process is that this Goliath, yes, the Philistines were an ancient nation. They were a nation that had been around for a long time, because you got to think about where the Philistines come from. They're a result of their original situation, which was these fallen ones, these lookers, these watchers that had fallen and come down to Mount Hermon and made this pact and began to sleep with the humans, the human women, and began to form what were called giants, the Nephil. And so these things over generations is one of the things I'm dealing with too. Over generations, things are contaminated. Over generation, things are more impacted, And so I believe that Goliath had some issues. And I mean, as the large creature that he was, you got to think about these things, his bones and how big he was and the weight on his bones and all of these things. So I believe it was more of a perception thing when it came to giants, because understand, when they began to kill giants, people killed giants for forever after that. That was a thing, killing the giants was not something that people were like, oh, that's impossible. That's just not. And Israel at this point had already addressed giants. They had already dealt with some major nations that were stemming from the giants. So this should not have been a difficult task, but it's about perception and about perspective, okay? Your perspective is everything. One of the reasons, too, why I believe he had this person on the field with him was because he needed to cover his lower part. Now, we need to think about that for a minute, because he's tall, he's up here, but David is down here. And if I don't have something to cover me, then I might get, I might be penetrated from a low point. I might be compromised from a low point. It's good for me to be up here talking bad and to throw javelins or whatever I'm going to do from this high place. But if I don't cover the lower part of who I am, then I may be exposed and it may become a danger to me. I don't know. I feel like the Father is saying something, because he was talking to me about some things before I got on concerning the spirits of darkness. And there's an exposure that's happening. There's low access. There's access that is uncovered this morning. There's access that's uncovered this morning. Father, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for the wisdom that we need this morning to contend, the wisdom that we need this morning to overcome. our adversary. Ah, the low place, okay. There's a place that the adversary is always seeking to acquisition in son. There's a real estate that he's always seeking to get, and that's the real estate of the mind. He knows that if he can get to the mind, then he can begin to form the images. And oftentimes the images that we're forming are coming from a very low frequency. That's the place that is exposed. So the enemy seeking to find that place of exposure or that low place, he's seeking to penetrate that so that a thing that we are perceiving or beholding may get into the heart, the core of who we are. That's getting into that core is where the issues of life flow from. So I've got to get to the mind so I can get to the heart. And if I get to the heart, then I can affect things that flow from you, the things that flow from you. So one of the things with this Goliath, him having this attendant, I'm going to open up the line in a minute because I want to hear what you guys have to say about this thing that the Father's bringing forth. Having this attendant to cover the low places, the parts, because he's so big, you know, but I need something to cover the bottom part of me. I need something to cover the low place so that I'm not compromised there. I'm going to open up. The lines are open. The lines are open. Tell me what you're hearing, what you're seeing in that thing. Tell me what you're hearing, what you're seeing in that thing this morning, because I believe part of this is where Israel was compromised. They were compromised because of the frequency, the low place that they were living in. But there was an ability for them to overcome their adversary. If they had known how to contend in the low place, they would have been able to accomplish what the Father was saying. Huh? But they lifted themselves. They lifted themselves, and that was a part of the problem too. Your line is open. I'd like to hear what you're thinking about what was just spoken.
I just perceive the unconditional love, first of all, from the Father, and that even when we're in those low places, that the Father is with us and he gives us grace in the midst of that low place. And even in contending in the low place is that if we keep, you know, seeking him and keep, you know, asking the Father to cover us and keep us, we can be kept. But I do believe even in those low places, those areas where those times where we are gaining those lessons from, gaining those that knowledge and experience from to know that he is a keeper, whether it's the keeper of our health, our life, or
all
you know, keep us safe from ourselves, you know, and so I just believe that even though we may not want to ever go to the low places or experience them, and that we feel like we're out of the wheel when in those low places, I don't necessarily believe that we always are. Don't get me wrong, there are times you can be in a low place, but we have to have the lows just like we have the highs. It's like I spoke to you a while ago about the Father dealing with me about understanding that just because I'm in a low place doesn't mean I'm not in the wheel, doesn't mean that I'm, you know, out of pocket, so to speak. We have to have those highs and lows, because if you don't, whether you have all highs or high or all lows, you're like a flat line, meaning that there's no life, you know. So it's just like that heartbeat, you know, you see that that symbol of the heart beating. When you on the monitors, you see that high and low, and that is necessary. You know what I'm saying? It's necessary for us to go through the lows because, you know, there's things that we just not would obtain if we stayed on the high, and there's definitely things we wouldn't obtain if we stayed on the lows. So I think basically all that comes back to me is balance. You know, and so that's what it speaks to me. But again, even in those lows, we don't want to get so low that we can't call on the Father or believe that believe that, you know, he gave the angels charge over us to watch over us, to, you know, to help us to mm-hmm. stay, you know, in his presence, in his will, in his protection, in his love, in his grace, in his mercy. So, you know, that's why, and it's just like, you know, they'll say every day is a new mercy, or every moment is a new mercy, you know, mm-hmm. because from moment to moment in our lives, we don't know what is going to occur. We can, you know, we can take things for granted that, you know, everything's going to be all right, or we can take it all for granted that nothing's going to happen, you know. But I think that what keeps us is to continue to stay prayerful. And so that's what I'm perceiving.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about that, the things that could happen, this goes back to having the right perspective about those things, right? Because there are a lot of things that could happen, but if I know that I'm walking in the place that he's calling me to, if I know that he's walking with me, then only 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but I know it's not coming nigh my dwelling because I made him my habitation. So there are things that we're still to know even in the low place, or what we're considering the low place. Sometimes it's just the lesson place and we're considering that low. But no matter where Joseph was, he yet rose to the top. Whether he was in the pit, whether he was in Potiphar's house, no, whether he was in the prison, he still rose to the palace. He still rose in every one of those scenarios. He became the head of a thing. So we can be in a lower place or in a place where challenges are, but understanding that we were built to contend, that we have a grace to contend no matter where we are, is the key. Because it's not an uncertainty. It's no need for uncertainty because we've already stated that he's our shepherd, right? And we don't want for anything. What he makes us do, where he leads us to refresh us, and even when we're walking through valleys of the shadow of death, there's no fear there because we know that he's walking with us. And that if there's a necessity for the rod or the staff, whichever he chooses, whether he needs to beat an animal away, whether he needs to snatch us back from something, whatever it is, that provision is already there. So there's no uncertainty in the low place. No uncertainty in the low place. I want to get back to this thing about Goliath being covered in his lower part, because there's something that the Father wants to talk about concerning that thing, because this is what was connected to the children of Israel not able to acquisition it that the Father was speaking to them. They did not consider the attack. Attacking the enemy from the low place. They didn't consider that. They didn't. There's a conversation in scripture where, and I'm going to pull it up real quick, where an enemy was overcome. And then being overcome, they thought he's the God of the valley, you know? So they decided they wanted to go, it was either the God of the mountain, but he's not the God of the valley. And they had to realize that in their defeat, that not only is he the God of the mountain, but he's the God of the valley as well. They thought that their strategy, they changed their strategy because they believed, oh, there was an advantage because of where they were, not who they were. The advantage they thought was in the positioning, not in the person that they were serving. They thought it was in the positioning. Oh, because they are in a high place. Oh, they could see everything, you know, so that's obvious. Okay, but is he the God of the valley? He was. He was the God anywhere they were. He was there to defend them. He was there to defend them. I'm going to pull it up. Yeah, they thought, they were like, listen, all we got to do is change our strategy because clearly they won. Okay, they won. They got us there. They got us. In 1 Kings, see here, 1 Kings chapter 20. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 20. And I believe that one of the reasons why the adversary works so hard, again, is because he wants to deal with how we see the thing. If he can get us to come out of the reality, which is a spiritual thing for us, it's not a natural thing, because what we physically see with our eyes is not always the thing that is. It, you know, things happen in the spirit before they happen in the natural. So there are transactions that we need to be recognizing. And as we're recognizing those transactions, we're recognizing our victory. We're recognizing our victory. Yep, it was a war with Aram. It says here, let me see if I can find the verse. This is Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, who gathered his host together. And it, the word says that there were 30 and two kings with him and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. Okay. I'm going to go down. He looked for his allies and all that good stuff. But here's the thing. Let me see. Okay. I love this. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 13. I'm going to read that one. It says, "And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith Yah, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am Yah." This is indicative of this of the mindset that we have to have no matter what place we're standing in. Even if we're standing in the low place, that could be a contending place. It could be a fighting place. Whatever that place is, wilderness, wherever it is, it's not a negative place. It's just a place for us to be proven in our strength. It's a place for us to be proven in our knowledge of who the Father is. It's a place to be able to identify who he is in that moment. And so this thing that continues to be repeated, and it was repeated to the children of Israel, and I'm sure that it's being repeated to you as a son, I have delivered this thing into your hands. That's a place where deliverance takes place. The deliverance is not just something that you're being delivered from, but something that's being delivered to you. That is in the way of, what's the word that I'm looking for? Influence. There's a thing that the Father wants to do with the sons that positions them to influence things, you know, to be influencers over things. That's a big deal in this age, and it really is a big deal in the kingdom. Influencers, it's always been a big deal. This was the purpose for Adam, that he might influence the sons that are after him to function a certain way, which he did. So this is what the purpose of the master coming was, to be the influence over the sons that they would need to be able to do what the Father had established them for. It says here, hold on, I want to pull up this exact thing. Okay, here it is. Verse 28 in 1 Kings chapter 20. Read this. This was really good. This was another war, but read this. This is really good. Because they had a war before and they lost. So here they came back to try to contend with Israel again. And it says here in verse 28, "And there came a man of Yah and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith Yah, because the Syrians have said," listen to what the Syrians said, "the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys." This is what they assume. "Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and you shall know that I am Yah." It's this place, it's this position, and this is why it's so important to read the word, because if we read the word, our perspective will always be right. We'll perceive things the way we need to perceive them. We'll have the right perspective. And when we have the right perspective, we'll have the right images in our mind. The imagery in your mind will not be that of failure. But see, the up and the down is not a difference between failing and winning. The up and the down is not a difference between just not having and having, because you can have in a low place. Even when David was in the cave, he had access to some things. He had not gone hungry. He didn't lack anything. He hadn't reached his palace yet, but he was not hungry. He did not lack. Not only that, the Father sent people to be connected to him that would be trained, that when he became the king, he would already have, you know, his court. He would already have everything that he needed, the men of war. He taught them how to war. These were his mighty men, you know, but all of that happened from the cave. It came when he was hiding. It came when he was running from Saul. So that may seem to be a low place, but it's not an underdog spot, because you got to think about this as well. There were times that David caught up with Saul, and even one of those times he was like, "I cut off the bottom of your robe." Like, in that moment, I could have really killed you, but I didn't. You understand what I'm saying? There's still this competitive edge. There's still this contending, this grace to contend. There's still this advantage that the Father has given us, even when it looks like we're in a low place. It's still about our perspective. It's still about our perspective. All right, I'm going to open up the line again. Share again. You can share again.
As you were speaking, the scripture in Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of
yes.
the shadow and death, I will fear no evil, so, mm-hmm. because thou art with me.
You are. Yep. You are. That's something we have to know no matter where we are. You are. You are with me. You are with me. Yeah.
I guess that goes back to what you said about knowing the scripture and how important it is to hide the word in your heart.
Because mm-hmm.
even if the enemy, like, you in this place, if you know
mm-hmm.
the scripture, you know what the scripture says, and you can stand on it.
That's right.
Stand on what you know.
Period. Yeah. If you stand on what you know, then you'll never be in any confusion or any fog. You know, that's that area that the enemy want to bring us over into, that fog. Well, how do we wind up in the fog? Because we don't remember. We forget what he's already spoken. You can't be in a fog when you remember what he's spoken. The fog is dissipated because he's speaking a thing, because a thing has been spoken. Because he's breathing, there is no fog. And when he's breathing, it's because your mouth is open and you're saying what he's saying. That's how you dissipate the fog. That's how that's dissipated. It's the mindset of the enemy, whatever you're contending with, whatever adversaries you're contending with. And whatever those adversaries
that's
are.
That's why it's important to meditate the word day and night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's absolutely important, because as we're meditating, there's no room for anything else. There's no room. You have to fill a space up. Like when you deal with when we deal with the house, the temple, our bodies, we know that, you know, the adversary is always vying for real estate. So if he can get a way in, he's certainly going to come in. If he gets cast out, then he's just going to walk off, or he's going to seek to come back to his house, because there's no rest where he is. He wants to find a place where he can rest. And you know what makes what his rest is? His rest is in being in a place that he can actualize who he is. That's his rest. You know, we think of rest, we think of a kickback, put your feet up. That is not his rest. He's resting when he's working, when he's able to accomplish his purpose. That's his rest. That's his rest. And the adversaries of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, they're thinking, you know, yeah, he may be the God that you served in church, but he ain't the God of your house. You know,
right.
he may be the God when you feel like you're in a victorious place, but when you're in this low place, he ain't the God of the valley in your life. But we understand here, it says in verse 29, because the Father told him, go on, I've given him, I love that phrase, I have given him, and I have delivered, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. I have delivered your enemy into your hand. I just want that to stick out to you today, because this is the thing that should have stuck out to the Hebrew children, against what the 10 spies that were against the word that was spoken were saying. What should have stood out to them, this goes back to something that he began to speak to us from the beginning, was I've created a record. There's a record of my doings. There's a record of how I move, how I function. And because I've created this record, why do you doubt me? Why are you afraid? Why, you know, what is this coming from? What are you dealing with that you would contend with me in this area? Because I've already got a record. My track record is clear. You can see the track record from the time I broke you out of there. They didn't believe it at first. They're like, leave Egypt. Then they got mad, because when Moshe went in there to talk to Pharaoh that one time, he said, you know what? Don't get them niggas no more straw. Let them go get their own straw. From now on, and I want you to keep the same work schedule and the same production schedule, even without being given the tools that you need to get it done. They said, why are you in there talking to him? You messing things up for us. Now we're despised. Now they won't give us what we need. Now we got to go and scavenge for straw, and still make the same brick at the same, you know, appointed time and all of this. We still got to keep a schedule. We still got to keep a production schedule that we had before when they was giving us this. Now we got to take time. How is this even possible? You've made us to stink in the nostrils of, and guess what, though? That's the beginning of your freedom. Think about that. When you start stinking in the nostrils of your adversary, that's the beginning of your freedom, because people only going to want to smell a stench for so long before they be like, get that out of here. What is this smell? You know, somebody find it and get it out of here. You're only going to want to stink, be in that environment of stink for so long. That was the beginning. They didn't see that, though, because they didn't have the right perspective. They didn't understand. That was the beginning of the Father dealing with the heart of the king. Yeah, they're idle. They want to go serve some god in the wilderness. Don't give them nothing. Let them find it for themselves, and they better still do my work. Yeah, that was the beginning. Because what we don't understand is that a lot of these things that are contending with us are being set up. Things are being set up. These areas are being set up for destruction. You know, the Father talks about the fullness of the Amorites. The sin is not full. You notice that throughout the scripture, he keeps talking about their sin is not full. What is he talking about? I need to create a situation where they reach the place where I'm like, okay, now that's enough. That's it. That's all. I just needed the sin to be full, because, see, he's a merciful Father. Across the board, he's merciful, because all humankind are his imagers. So you can only go so long without imaging him before he's like, okay, that's enough. It's the same thing he did with the children of Israel. Okay, that first batch, you're out of here. Yeah. And how he dealt with Moses was, you know, you're just not going into the promise. He did not become his son, because he did operate in the faith that the Father loves. He operate. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. He did operate in faith. However, he did get angry too. He got angry and he rebelled in a moment against what the Father was saying, because he was dealing with a people that the Father said, just back away. I got it. Back away. I got it. Let's just start over. I'll kill all of them and we'll start over. His heart was so tender. His heart was so tender. He was like, you know what? But you got to think about this too. What was really going through his head that he would be like, you know what? Don't kill him now, because we out here in this wilderness. Not only are you going to look bad, but I'm going to look bad. I'm the one that let him out. What I look like now? I done led them out. I done killed the whole nation. And killed the whole nation. Didn't take them to the promise. What do I look like? These are things that are pertinent to this whole story of going into that promised place, because there's a mixture. And that's one of the things that the Father is really going to deal with in this season of our lives. He's going to deal with the mixture. He's going to deal with that in the earth, this thing where people mix him with everything else. You know, it's a mixture. But they came out of there with the mixed multitude. That was part of the problem as well, that people followed them. But, you know, you could get past that, because Joshua and Caleb got past that. It's just about what you know. Okay, people may follow you into a place because they see an advantage. But at that point, you've got to hold to what you know and what you believe and not be moved by how they function. But understand, when they came out with Israel, they brought all of this stuff out with them too, how they function. These were not just average people that came out. See, when we think about the mixed multitude, a lot of people think, oh, just some of the people just left from Egypt and went with them. No, these were main people. These were princes of Egypt. These were people that were of high stature, governmental type. You know, these were people in high places that left. So imagine what came with them. Because however they were functioning in Egypt, they were trying to function in the wilderness, because this was an unfamiliar place to them. So anytime they're disgruntled, then they're going to portray that. They're going to deflect that. And that deflection is going to either penetrate or not penetrate the people that they're around. The line is open. I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy. Read some more. Oh, that numbers. Deuteronomy is where we are in the Torah. Are you guys with me this morning? Can you hear me? What's going on in your head? What you thinking? What are you thinking? I'm going to go to...
I can hear you.
Okay. I want to go back to something that was brought up the other day. And I believe this is an area that the Father wants to really deal with because he was talking to me about it this morning. And he brought up the conversation about what's preventing you from loving me. What's preventing you? You know, when you think about love, what are some of the things that you think about? What does love look like to you? What does that look like? People talk about love languages, but what does love look like? What is it, you know... What sound does that have? What look does that have? What's the substance of love to you? Just everybody on the line, just share. I'd love to know what that is. The line is open. What does love look like? What does that mean?
We're speaking of loving the Lord, what it looks like to love the Lord.
Just love, period. Just in a general sense, when you hear the word love, what are the things that come to your mind? What comes to your mind? What is attached to that? What's connected to that?
Loyalty is one of the words.
Loyalty.
Commitment.
Yes, ma'am. Commitment, loyalty. Mhm. Yes,
faithfulness,
ma'am. Faithfulness, yes, ma'am. Commitment, loyalty, faithfulness. Mhm. Unity for me, you know, because I'm thinking of a union covenant. You know, dedication, attention. You know, those are just some of the things that come to mind. His question was, what's preventing you from loving me? This is one of the things that across the board is going out into the earth. What's preventing you? What's keeping you? You know, can you identify it? When I think about that, I'm thinking about Adam in his hidden place. And the Father says, where are you? It's the same question. What's preventing you from loving me? It's the same exact question. It's just stated differently. Where are you? What's his question about where are you? Because you're not where we normally convene. You're not in the place, not in the location, but you're not located emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You're not located where we convene at. You're not in the location that I normally find you. You're somewhere else. What's preventing you from loving me? You know, and when we think about that, you know how a woman gets in the wrong relationship and she's trying to figure out, it could be a man as well. This is both sided. I'm just using women because I am a woman. So this could go for a man or a woman, but they get in the wrong relationship and they're trying to figure out why won't this person that they've connected themselves to love them. So questions like, well, what's wrong with me are asked. You know, what haven't I done? You know, and then when you know that you've given all you can give, not only have you given all you can give, but you've made them better, right? You've made them not only better, but you've made them look better. You've made everything about them is better. Their world is better. Their environment is better. Everything, right? Then you start asking yourself, well, who's going to do all of this? Who else going to do, you know what I'm saying? What I've done, what I've given, who else would do that? That's not an arrogant position. If it was done, if it could be done for you, if it was being done for you, then I would not have had to do it because it would have already been done, right? Mm-hmm. But I came in and I'm doing all of these things and they're putting you in this position, in this place that you've never been in. So So who could love you that much? And why wouldn't you want to be in a relationship and be with a person who makes you better in every way? Why wouldn't you? It's the same question the Father asked, you know? What's preventing you from loving me? He has the same ponderings as us when it comes to relationship. Now, here's the thing with the Father. And a lot of people are like, well, he's God, you know, and he knew this was going to happen. Why did he let that happen? Because he, let's go back to the beginning. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, right? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. What is he having a conversation about? The way we function. I'm going to allow them to function that way. The way we have dominion, I want them to function that way. But then there's something else that he says, and let them have, you know, that and let them have is the dominion, is the way, it's the kingship, it's that royal position, it is that place of authority, right? So he doesn't make us love him because he's given us the freedom that he's given us that is just like his freedom. He chose us, so he wants us to choose him back. So often people are confused about, well, why would he let that? Well, why would he? Because he doesn't, he's given man the authority to manage the earth. He's given man the authorization to manage what's going on in the earth. He is the God of everything, but he has shared all of who he is with his crown creation. Okay, so just like we have those moments of, well, why, you know, these are the questions. Even leaders of the scriptures ask these questions, right? There's even as a leader, Moshe has this battle raging inside of him. You know, he desires to be all he can be for people, and they're rejecting him. Moshe's still fighting for them. Every time they do something foolish, he's falling on his face. He's like, well, who? You know, and then there came a breaking point when it came to the rebellion of Korah. We're going to talk about rebellion a little bit because if I had to title today's conversation, it would be Rebellion is Killing Me. Mm-hmm. When it got to Korah and how they were contending with Moshe and creating this revolt and this rebellion to come against him, then he was like, you know what, don't hear their prayers. He went straight from let me fall on my face to okay, that's it. You ever seen in the scripture where it talks to the people about how they deal with their leaders? Don't grieve your leaders because they have conversations with me about you. They're covering you. You know what I'm saying? All of these things are connected. You know, he said, okay, don't hear their prayers because I ain't done nothing to them. You know, I don't. It's when they come to you with their offerings, don't even receive their offerings. You know. And that was the end for them. It's the same place Samuel was in. He had reached the limit with the people. When they were, we want a king like all the other nations. Father said, they're not rejecting you, son. They're rejecting me. Every time they go do what they want to do, instead of the thing that you have said, that you're speaking on my behalf to do, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. These are lessons in leadership. You don't have to feel like you're being rejected. You don't. This is not personal. You may feel some personal, you know, you may feel it, but it's not personal because if they can't accept you, then it's because they haven't accepted him. If they're rejecting what you're saying, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one who sent you to say it. You understand? And it says, Samuel said, this is what Samuel said to them. He said, who have I wronged? What have I stolen from you? Who have I defrauded in any way? They said, nobody. He said, okay, well, I just want to make sure I'm good. I'm clear, you know. Like I said, if I had a title today's conversation, it would be Rebellion is Killing Me, because there are often things that the Father is establishing or doing. He's desiring to put us in that alignment that we're praying for. But because we don't have the right perspective, because we're not in the right position. We don't have the right perspective because we're not in the right position. And that position should be a humble position. It should be the posture of prayer. That should be the initial thing before you do anything. That place of prayer should be the posture that you live in before you do anything. I mean, it's a lifestyle. So it's not, okay, let me pray before I do it. I need you to hear me clearly. I'm not saying this is, you know, this is not a magic pill. You know, well, let's just pray about it before I go get this. But, you know, people are always sending me inboxes, you know, pray for me that I such and so and pray. I need you to pray, and I need you to pray because this is an open-ended situation. No, you need to be in the posture of prayer. And I'm like, now, like, I'm on the prayer line every morning. You don't need me to pray about nothing. Meet us where we are. Be where we at. Get in the company of people that are engaged in that. And some things won't even matter because you'll realize your position of victory based on your posture. If you are realizing a position of defeat, it's because your posture is wrong. You're standing against the thing that the Father is saying instead of with the thing that he's saying. It's such a simple dynamic. He's saying, listen, acknowledge me in all your ways. I'm going to direct you. Beyond that, he says this, it's me that's working in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. So I'm working in you. I put my spirit in you, so I'm going to be at work. And it's going to be according to the power that's working. That's working. See, working power, non-working power. There could be working power. There can be non-working power. You could have something in you that ain't working. Just like your organs could be in you, but be shut down. You can have something in you, but it not be working. He said, it's according to the power that's working in you that I'm going to do something. So now we have to give attention to what's in us. We have to give attention to what's in us. He said to them, who changes gods like y'all? He's like, y'all change gods like you change your drawers, like going on. These other nations don't do, these heathen nations don't change gods like you. They may have many, but they are dedicated to many that they have. Whatever they serve, they're dedicated to what they serve. They're not flipping, flopping and doing all this stuff. Why do you fathers despise me? What have I done to them? Where have I neglected them, you know? But he's so good at reminding us what he's done, and there's a purpose in that, so that we will not come to the place where we rebel against what he's saying in another season, because he's not going to keep, he doesn't always say the same thing to us. So we go to a place and he says, okay, now I need you to, everything is not a turn right, turn right, turn right. So if you get used to turn right, turn right, turn right, when he says turn left, you're like, oh my God, is that him? Wait, what? He's leading you. He's guiding you into truth. He's leading you into this authentic position. But if every time you hear something or see something, you're affected by what you're hearing and what you're seeing instead of just following what he's saying, that's the thing that kills fear. This is why the Father asked, what's preventing you from loving me? It just dawned on me. This is why he asked that. He said, perfected love casts out fear. Not just does it cast out fear, it casts out all fear. So now the question is, how is love perfected? Because what we would love to do as religious people is say, oh, that's just loving him. No, he's saying perfected love. When your love is perfected, it's your love across the board that's perfected. How you function, how you relate to people, how you love other people, how you love yourself. Perfected love is what casts the fear out. So it goes back to some things that we've been talking about over the weeks. How do you see you? Because until you're able to love you like he's saying, seeing you as he sees you, that's not arrogance, that's acceptance. The moment you see you as he sees you and you accept that, then you're going to walk a certain way. You're going to function a certain way. Listen, I'm in this challenge. This challenge is interesting for me because I've been in this place before, but not by myself, if that makes sense. But when I was in it in another season, he was with me then. So why would in this season he not be with me? I'm thinking, you know what, Father? Okay, that's a lot of money to spend. You know, I'm looking at the money side of it. He's looking at the thoughtfulness side of it. He's like, I got you. It's the same thing he told me the other week when I was looking at houses and I was trying to decide between this price level and that price level. He said, just pick one. Whichever you pick, I'm paying it anyway. His meter's going to pay it anyway. Now, that don't mean I go to a $1 million house note. right? Because all of this is about process. But within the place that I'm in, the boundaries, see, there are boundaries for the blessing. He said, from the river Euphrates to over here, that's the boundary. Don't go outside of that because the Anakims live there or the Amalekites live there or somebody else lives there, the Amorites live there or Edomites live over there. That's the land I gave your brother Esau. Don't bother that. That ain't yours. Even if you're walking through it, that's not a wherever the bottom of my feet tread, it belongs to me. No. There are blessings, but there are boundaries. There are definitely boundaries. So I didn't go to the million-dollar price range. Why? Because I'm in this, here I am, I'm in this category right here. I'm in this category right here. He says, go ahead. What do you want to do? You can pick the lowest end of that or you can pick the highest end of that. But this is the boundary. So go ahead. Because, I mean, whichever you pick, I'm paying for it. We get so tied into, well, what does that look like? And how is that going to happen? And how? Instead of understanding it is happening, it's not just going to happen, it is happening because David said it like this, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That's something that he believed, that he understood, that he knew. Look, I've been in caves. I've been in all kinds of places. I've lived on all kinds of levels, but I'm going to tell you what I've never seen. The Father ain't never left me. Never. I've always had what I needed when I needed it. And when you come to that conclusion, then how can you be afraid of what you're facing? Regardless of what people are saying, oh, it's uncertain times, and oh, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and the other. Oh, you need to, you know, I'm just baffled by all these people that say they are believers that's getting, standing in lines and encouraging people to go and be injected and do all of these things. And it's like, where are you getting these conversations from? Who's talking to you about this? But it comes from having no foundation. It comes from not acknowledging what the Father's already done, not giving him the credit he deserves. When you get to a place, now you're afraid, now you're doubtful, now you're all of these things, because when he was doing all the things he was doing to create this track record for you, to show you, and prove to you, I love you and I got you. Say, oh, I got my degree. I got my this. I got my that. Oh, I bought a new car. Oh, I did whatever it is that, you know, people do. Look what I did. Now, that's what got Nebuchadnezzar in the position he was in, where he became an animal, Daniel chapter 4. Because the difference between confidence and stupidity, okay, is knowing who the credit belongs to. And if we give the credit to who it belongs to, then we won't be ridiculous when we're challenged. We'll be able to go up and understand that the Father's saying, I've given them into your hands. Let's go back to David. David's not the underdog. He's the overlord in this position. It looks because what he's standing against is a lot taller than him. It's a lot bigger than him. But when has that ever been the mindset of our king? He refers to the lion as one of the fiercest animals in the jungle. Why is he fierce? Not because he's bigger, not because he's taller, not because he's smarter, not because he's faster, but because he knows and he thinks he is the king, and everybody else around him thinks the same thing, because his mentality is, I'm the king of the jungle. When you hear that roar, it's something that the Father put in him. Like, I was looking at this documentary about the roar. Oh, my God, and how it was talking about they were doing this research and how they were trying to figure out how that sound comes out of his mouth. Oh, my God. It was just put me in a place. I was like, we don't understand. That is something in our voice box. That is something in us that internally makes a sound that causes darkness to flee, that causes darkness to bow, that causes darkness to recognize who's on the scene. But it's got to first be recognized in our own lives, because we'll never reach promise if we're listening to the negative report of those that don't believe it. There'll always be negative reports of people that don't believe what he spoke to you. But you got to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, listen, he said go up. We're well able. Hold on, y'all. Be cool. Be quiet. Hold on. You're missing the point here. He said go up and take the land. Do you remember all the times he said, I've given them into your hand? This is the same conversation. He just saying, go up and take it. The line is open. Wow. The line is open. Some things are being broken in us. Talk to me. I'm going to need y'all to talk back to me.
Well, for me, I think that with all it comes down to is still, you know, we have to get to a place, like you said, to know what's in us, and it's to believe that what the Father put in us is there, and then we can utilize it. understanding, like you said yesterday, that, you know, there's a spirit of pride, you know, whether it's in the high form or the low form, spirit of pride. And then, so we're dealing with the issue of trust and pride. And in regards to love, that's what it is, too. It's like that trust got to be there. So I think more so of what could possibly be an issue with the love, as the Father was asking, you know, as far as why, you know, what is
preventing you from loving me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's preventing you from loving me is the trust. And even though the Father has shown many times, you know, that he's there for them and he's done the thing for them, you know, it behooves us to speak our own, you know, to go within and be like, Father, reveal to me where it is, where the distrust is, where, you know, I'm having this issue, because it's evident that it's there. So, you know, so that's what comes up for me in regards to all that, because I know we can go to the Bible and we can say, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, love is, love is, love is. But are we functioning in it is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you operating in it? Are you doing this? And then if you have, and you feel like you've been let down, there's the issue of trust too, and the issue of why you not, you know, moving in you know, what the Father is saying and doing as far as loving him. So if you have been in other positions and you don't learn that you're gonna go through ups and downs, and in those ups and downs, in those ups and downs, that doesn't mean that the Father doesn't love you, because you go through. You know, again, these are times where, you know, there's that learning curve, there's that learning. And not only do we not have to we do have to understand, too, that when it comes to love, as in loving yourself, can you give love that you haven't given yourself?
No.
Because, you know, you'll hear some things about you can't love somebody else until you love yourself. But we steady on, going to keep going. And I'm about to get deep right here. But but it's like going out the world, how they would say, a backwards. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to curse, but,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. you know, going out the world backwards. But
mm-hmm.
it's like, we keep doing stuff, and I think that's another thing
put
that I have
before
to
the horse.
Yeah, for me, I have to remember that, you know, he was just talking about remembrance. I begin to quote the scripture that I used to quote to my kids when they were young, when they were in school. And I would
mm-hmm.
tell them every morning we would pray, and I would tell them every morning to recite this scripture. And the scripture was that the memory of the just is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want us to be able to remember, because we have to be able to pull it back up. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to go back
mm-hmm.
to those files and pull the things up that we need. So that came up. And
mm-hmm.
then, so it's like having to remember that the things that we have been conditioned to, we have to know that we're going to contend with them until, you know, we get that deliverance of it. And so that means we're going to have to keep rehearsing some other things that are not, that we weren't taught, basically. We're going to have to be able to, you know, dig in and get that knowledge of the newness and utilize it, because what we're taught is backwards. When I look at the things in the world, and I just step back and I look and I observe and I watch, and so then I start asking the Father questions. So while I'm looking at all of that and I'm listening, I have to sometimes get quiet and listen and hear, because, you know, if your mind keep going all the time, you can't hear what is being said because you're thinking all the time. So I'll be quiet.
Right.
So we're listening today, and it just led me to that, like, the memory of the justice blessed, and also that the world, the way the world functions and do things is opposite. You know, we got to really remember that it's not about I believe it when I see it.
Mm-mm.
As in, I'm not going to believe until I see it. We have to believe before we see it. And that's the opposite of what the world teaches. And so, you know, those are things, like I'm saying, those conditions that we have to really contend with. And I think, you know, the scripture comes to mind about be not weary and well-doing. Sometimes we get weary because we're like, God, we got to keep fighting with this stuff so much, so often, every day, all day, you know. And so I think that, again, we have to go back, Father, it is not my strength, it is not my power, but it's yours. And I'm asking you to help me to come in and, you know, come in. I'm open up to you to, you know, to come in and help me to get through this process so that I don't have to fight with this, you know, that the battle is not mine, it's yours, you know.
That's
and
it.
I need your grace to cover me because But again, you know, it's kind of like sometimes we still go through it because it's us, you know, it's our physical body, it's our mind, it's our spirit, you know, and it's like we're fighting, fight the good fight of faith, and, you know, all these things of the 1 minute is surrender, the next minute is fight. So again, like you said, it comes down to, you know, stand in the presence of the Father and understanding what season we're in, what time we're in, and listening to for him to, you know, direct us and let us know what to do. So that's all that came up for me as I was listening. You know, I don't mean to, you know, have you out there with dead air, but sometimes I have to be quiet and listen.
I understand that.
That's where I was. That's what I heard today. That's what I heard out of all of it. It's a matter of are we in a place where we need to get quiet and listen and hear, and you know, I believe it when I see it. So it's I believe it, then I'll see it. You know. So it's like we can't manifest something that we don't believe. Just like it, without belief, we can't have faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, you know.
So that means you got to see. So that means you got to spiritually see it before you believe. Before you even.
That's,
so it's not a physical
sight;
it's a spiritual sight. As he's saying it, I see it, and because I see it, I say it. And when I say it, I am creating the substance, because by faith I'm speaking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we speak it, but we're still speaking it in doubt, though. We're still speaking it with not you know, the true clarity of seeing something.
So somebody preached a message, fake it till you make it. That's why.
and that always, when I tell you that always bothered me, I was just like, okay, you fake it till you make it, but what if you never make it because you're always faking it? You know, it's got to be a place to where we get to the place where it's not about faking it till we making it, but is, Father, just help my unbelief right now to where I am. Where I am right now, this is where my belief process is. But at the same time, again, accountability of self. Where are you? Like you said, when the Father said, well, where are you? Well, you're not in this place where I need you to be, so where are you? And we got to be honest with ourselves.
You're not even in the place where we normally are. Because
he's
not necessarily calling us to a place that's foreign to us, but it's a place that we've been, even though he's doing something new. You know, even though he's doing bigger things or new things, it's still a place. It's a fellowship place that we have to be in order for him to do the thing that he's saying do. Just like even with our physical bodies or our minds or our hearts or whatever, it's an alignment that we have to be in with him. That means we agree with whatever he's saying. Not what we're feeling, not what someone else is saying, but what he's saying. I agree with what you're saying. He's saying, all I need really is for you to agree with me. And if you agree with me, then I can give you this. You know, it's like having the address on the, you know, you've given your address. And so the person that's mailing you something is able to get it to you because you've given them access to you. But if you put the wrong address on it thinking, oh, this is a fluke, and they send you $1 million check, guess where the $1 million check going to?
To the wrong address.
You know? Because you're suspicious, because you all of it. But the crazy part about the suspicion is he's saying, listen, it's one thing when I'm dealing with people that don't know me. But when I'm dealing with people that know me, I have an expectation. And that's just what it is. He has an expectation of the people that know him, that he has history with. You know, the guy that don't believe, help my unbelief. What he does know is how authority works. So because he understands how authority works and he can identify this guy's authority, so he could just speak, he don't even have to come to my house. That in of itself is an operation of faith, because I understand that by natural means, this is how this works. So by spiritual means, it's the same system. It's just a spiritual system. You know?
Yeah, but there are some questionable things. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when we go through things and that leaves questions, you know, in our minds, and that leaves doubts in our minds. So there are some places where we may have been at a different place in time, but after we go through something, then our doubt, you know, comes up, because now we've experienced pain, experienced hurt or devastation. And so now we're like, well, Father, we felt this and we thought we was doing what you wanted us to do. And, you know, and now we're experiencing this. We don't know what to do with that. You
that's
know,
the key.
So that,
we thought.
That's
the key there is we thought. And so the thing that we have to do is to come into the truth of what it was. When I come into the truth of what it was, I don't really need to know all the details. I just know, okay, I identified this as that, and that's not what that was. Okay. You know, it's like some relationships, right? And people were baffled because I made this statement some years ago. He didn't hurt me. I hurt myself. I'm not a victim. I saw red flags. You understand what I'm saying? It's ownership. It's about ownership. And most of the time, because we won't own things, that's why we don't get free from things, because we're not owning it. You know,
why I said accountability is that we gotta look at ourselves and see where we are ourselves in order to even come to the Father to say, look, this is where I am, and you know, and this is how I got here. Not that you put me here, but this is something that, you know, I went into because of this or that or other. What my expectations of was for something different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, yeah, we do have to take accountability. Definitely that.
Yeah, it's just about accountability. Yeah. Like, he don't need a play-by-play because he was already there with us. So, he know. So, he like, yeah, I see that. I got that. I already know. Okay, so what are we going to do about this? Because once I realize I'm outside of something and I need to be in it, then I just have to make a decision to go in it. That's what the repentance is about. So when we're dealing with rebellion, the opposite of rebellion is repentance, you know, is going in a different direction. I'm not going to keep contending with you. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to walk with you. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, we're partnering to furrow this into this field and to make sure that they're that this is a necessary place for planting, that it's a available place for planting. And we know that this thing is going to grow because we're working together. I'm working with you. You're working with me. We're in agreement. We're in synchronicity. We're moving, you know, we're moving together. And this is what I desire. Not you moving ahead of me, not you moving behind me, not me dragging you along, but us moving together is what I'm desiring. And when we're walking in that, in tandem like that, then it's nothing that can't be done. It's nothing that can't be overcome. you know, without question, oftentimes we just have to say, okay, that is what it is. I'm not getting ready to deal with that. It's like I mentioned the thing about going to get my backpack out of my van, out of my car the other day, out of my truck the other day. And it was funny because I looked around. So he uses these natural things to give us the principles that we need to function in a certain way. I looked around. I laid down already, and I looked around, and something wasn't right. I was like, something is missing. And the Holy Spirit said, your backpack. I said, backpack is missing in the car. Okay, got to get up because my computer's in my backpack. Got to get up. I was bringing a bunch of groceries in. It's stuff I overlooked. Sometimes we wind up in a place not because we were intentionally trying to be there, but because we overlooked some things. The Father understands that. There's grace for that. That's not an issue. So I realized that something was missing. I got up, had my flip-flops on, had my clothes on, and I went on downstairs to go and get this backpack, right? When I get down there to go get the backpack, I am going to check my key real quick. And when I check the key, I hear some, you know, in the can. It's, you know, how they had the garbage cans outside the hotel for people to throw their stuff in it. So I hear, I'm like, oh, no. I don't know whether it's a possum, it's a raccoon. I don't know what it is. I just know something is in this can. I wasn't sure if it was absolutely in the can or whether it was in the bushes behind me. I ran back in. I said, oh, my God. So now I got to make a decision. I'm going to either be fearful or I'm going to go get this backpack because I must go get this backpack. It's stuff in this backpack that I'm not leaving in my vehicle throughout the night. I'm going to be sleeping. My stuff going to be in my vehicle. If anything happens, then, you just got to be responsible. So I'm talking to myself all the way up the steps. I'm like, I'm going upstairs. I'm going to go put on my gym shoes because if something's going to run across my foot, it ain't going to be my bare foot. Okay? I don't have on shorts. I got on long pants. I'm preparing myself to go into this area. Now, there's some, a little bit of, I'm feeling a little something, because I don't like this situation necessarily. However, I know I have to do this. So I'm hearing all kinds of scriptures like there's a lion in the street, What's that conversation about? When we're making excuses not to do things that we need to do, that we've been told to do, that we've been called to do because of circumstantial evidence that seems like it's against us. When the Father is saying, it don't matter what looks like it's against you. I'm telling you to move. You just got to move into this thing that I'm calling you to and do it. Walk yourself through it. Talk yourself through it. David said, I encourage myself. Right? So I come upstairs, put on my gym shoes, and I'm going back out there. Now, guess what? I took the long way to my vehicle. You know why? Because I wasn't walking past the can. But I am going to go around these bushes and go to my car and go get what I'm coming out here to get. And I'm going to come right back around them bushes and go inside of this building and go back to my room. But I had to make a decision in that moment. And it's the same decision. It's the same place that we all wind up in when the Father's calling us to something or telling us to do something. It's the decision of, okay, am I going to make an excuse for why I can't do this? Okay, Father, I feel uncovered. I don't know if I'm going to be protected. How? When have you been left out? When have you been denied? Even if you ever slept in your car, you had a car to sleep in, you wasn't on the street. It's just how we see things that's just all wrong. I've been homeless before, and the crazy part of it is I was driving a Mercedes. My Mercedes was my house for a couple of days because I was looking for another place. I was moving from the place I was in. All my stuff was put in storage. Look at how the Father did this. He said, put all your stuff in storage. I put all my stuff in storage. I'm moving from that place to the new place. I get to the new place on the day I'm supposed to move and realize the person is trying to give me the place, don't own the place. So I hadn't given my money yet. But now I don't have a place to go. But I'm in a Mercedes, so I could have been on the street. I could say, I feel like the Father let me down. No, I feel like it was some stuff I needed to learn. First thing I needed to learn was when I'm dealing with people, when it comes to housing, always identify who owns the house. First of all, I didn't give my money because the Holy Spirit kept me from giving my money, but you don't give money to people and you don't know that they own the house. You make sure that you vet all of these connections so you can make sure that everything's going to work the way it needs to work because there were other things that I could have looked at in the same week that I found that and found something that I could have actually went into, but because I trusted without proving people. See, I don't have to prove Yah because he's already been proven. But see, we get mixed up and we think because people have let us down and people have done it. He keeps saying, I'm not like man. I'm not a liar, first of all. And I've never let you down. You may have let yourself down, but I didn't let you down. I said go left and you went right. That wasn't me letting you down. That was you not following my instructions and winding up in a place. But if you called for me when you got in that place of left instead of right, then what did I do? I came for you. But if you got in that place and you complained and you whined and you moaned and all of that, what am I coming for? Because now you in this place and you feel like your recourse or it's your right to whine or it's your right to complain instead of it's your right to call out for me and allow me to be, what did he say the other day? Allow me to defend you. You're so busy trying to defend yourself. You won't allow me to defend you. This is what prevented them from going into the promise. They were looking at their ability to defend themselves. This is the report, the negative report that comes out of the mouth of these 10 spies, the dark psychology. This is a dark psychology. So now they're trying to figure out all of these reasons why we can't go into the promise, all of these reasons why. For Reuben, which we've already discussed, it was the issue of, first of all, they don't even want to cross over into the promise. They're looking at the land that they're standing in before they get there like, you know what? I got a bright idea. This land looks like a land for cattle. And guess what? We got cattle. Guess what? This looks like a land that cattle should live in. And guess what? All this grass, all this grazing, man, this is a perfect fit. How many times have you looked in your life and looked at your circumstances and made decisions based on what it looked like it could be for you, how it looked like it would work for you? Oh, this is. But the thing that the Father's telling you to do is like, oh, my God, that doesn't look like that's going to work. How is that going to work? And he's like, because I said it. You don't know what's on the other side of what I said. You're preventing yourself from moving the way that I called you to move and told you to move, but you don't understand all that's attached to what I'm telling you to do. You don't understand all the connections that are attached to the move that I'm putting you in. I never wound up at the hotel. I would have never wound up realizing some things about this industry that are needful. I would have never realized or met the people that I met to come into some different things, okay? I would have never got the phone call that day when they were asking me about something. And I said, yeah, no, I'm in a hotel. I'm just looking for a place. Oh, you're looking for a place? Let me connect you to this person. Because I would have been in a place that it was a temporary place, and the place I'm going to is temporary. But it's a specific way he wanted to take me. So I had, and he going to use the person that's open. He going to allow the person that's available, that's being used, to put me in that place, whoever it is. It don't matter. He didn't make them do that. That's where their heart was. So he's going to deal with the heart of the matter anyway. He's going to deal with heart and all that. But all of that has to be exposed, right? And when it's exposed, then it can be dealt with. You know, when it's full, then it can be addressed, right? But at the end of the day, he's like, why I got to convince you to love me? Why do I need to convince you of that? What's preventing you from loving me? What's preventing you from being faithful, from being devoted, from being committed, from being in covenant? What's preventing you from just putting me in that place where you realize I'm everything you need? Rebellion is killing me. That objection against whatever the Father is saying, that's the thing that's bringing death. That's the thing that prevents the promise. You're thinking the promise connects all of these good things. They're saying, what promise is connected to my instruction? So don't try to compare what you've already done to where I'm taking you. Signed up in some familiar places, but you're going to be there with a different perspective, though. You're going to be there with a different mindset. You're not going to be there with the same function that you had before. But I got to take you this way so that you can see you and you can see me, so that you can become all that I'm calling you to be. Come on, the line is open. Real brief. Go ahead. Line is open. The line is open. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? Good morning, Elder.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, I'm going to go back to a couple of things because I've been listening. And
you was listening? All right.
Yeah, from the beginning. Okay. You said when love comes in your mind. Well, one of the words that stuck out to me was harmony. And then you said
harmony. That's good.
What's preventing us from loving him, the Father? Well, right now, this specific moment, I'm a living example. I'm going to go back to the scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is one of my favorites, where it says trust him and acknowledge him. Acknowledge him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he will direct.
Yeah.
I'm singing even just today. Now, normally when I'm on the line, I'm at my work site.
Yeah.
And a lot of times at the work site, I was prevented to even say something.
Yeah.
Various times I might have begun to say something, and, you know, with the thing that's going on with the job. But guess what? I saw just today. You know, we could be in a field working or doing whatever it is that we're doing, but the bottom line for me is what I'm saying is what's preventing us from loving him totally like we should is distractions, whether they're big ones, whether they're small ones, whether they're ones that we created or whether they're
That's
ones
good.
That somebody else created because of the environment that we're
That's
in.
Good.
Now, I got
That's
up. Got online like I usually do, because since we've been on this form of intercession, I've been doing it online, not even realizing at first that I couldn't. I was like, how come I got to learn how to mute my line? But because I was online, I didn't have to worry about muting my line.
Right.
So for me, because of where I was at, that was a better way to listen, because I could do my job, hear it, and still, if it was, if I needed to call in, if I felt like it, which it probably was a need, even if I didn't feel like it, again, distractions. Okay. So today I'm sitting here in the comfort of my home, online, listening. And guess what? I presented my own distractions.
Yes.
Because now I got access to my phone. I'm on the tablet, but now I got access to my phone. So I go on the phone, and then I go on the, my son just helped me hook up everything on the monitor of the TV. I go on that, and I look, I said, girl, what you doing? You got all this stuff going on, and you're supposed to be focusing on that tablet. So we make our own create. Thank you. We create our own simple, and it seems like simple, but little distractions that we don't even pay attention to, because it's part of our normal walks of life. But yet when you look at the reality of it, and that's all the adversary needs is just a small distraction to keep us from hearing maybe just one simple word that may be the key to our next step in life.
That's awesome.
So for me, that's what I saw. And you know, like I'm learning, like when we're supposed to be in intercession, that's his time. That's his time. That's us and him.
Yes.
And whoever else is here with us. That's us and him. So we're given time to, whether it's, for me today, I had the monitor on the TV, which didn't make sense because I had that on. And then the telephone on. I didn't go. I thought about going to make a cup of tea because I'm saying to myself, well, I'm hearing what's going on. So let me go. And I got in the kitchen, and he turned me right back around, brought me right back to this seat where I'm at. And then that's when he brought me back, that's when I said, you know what? Let me just call in, because it's no reason why right now. Only thing moving in here is this fan. There's no reason why I couldn't have called in.
Yes.
But because I was used to doing this, and see, that's the thing that we have to all look at. What we're used to doing.
Come on.
Because if he's making changes, then we got to go with the changes. The used to be got to be put to the side.
Yep.
Now, you may go back to the used to, but we in the now right now. So that's what came on me as you know, you were talking, and LaDonya and Prophetess Bontina, both of the prophetess were speaking. Those are the things that start coming down to me, and then that's when it pushed me to even call in, when I could have called in from the beginning. You know, I think when we could go other methods, then we should go to other methods when we have to. That's just like if you're at a job and you may want to talk to somebody, and because you can't really talk to them on the phone like that, then you'll text. Okay, texting is appropriate at that time, but we got to deal with the things that's appropriate at the time. So I repent, Father, because of all the other things that I did on my own. So, again, lean not to our own understanding, because, see, at first I'm okay, it's okay to look at this, just a glance at this and glance at that. But in reality, if we're going to give him the time, then he wants his time.
Listen.
And I think all of us are guilty at some time or another of not giving him all of the time that we can. If we just do an inventory of our own lives, you know, time, even like this morning when I first woke up at 4 or something like that, and I'm generally up before that sometimes, but, you know, I said, you know what, Lord, I got to pillow something around here because I want to try to, instead of just doing the prayer, like I want to try to get on my knees. It's so painful for me at times to get on my knees, but then you know what came in my heart when my pastor at one time had said, he doesn't look at where you're at, the posture of your body. It's the posture of your heart.
That's right.
That he looks at.
That's right.
So I said, well, thank you, Lord, for bringing that that sermon when Pastor Armstrong was talking about that to me. But I still want to try. I at least want to try, because every now and then I'll try it, and I'll be there for a few minutes, and then I get up and I'm in pain, like, for the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to try it. You know, I got an extra little thick mat. You know, I might have to go through some things, but even if I, and thank you, Holy Spirit, just brought me that. Even if I start using this mat, I use it once since I bought it. If I use it more and start doing some of those exercises on my knees, then that is strengthening it to the point that I can get on my knees.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so I thank God for even just that moment that he spoke to me about that mat. In other words, okay, you bought the mat, now start using it more. But
come on.
Again, when you go to work and come in, you're tired, then little distractions.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, we don't pay them no mind, but that's what they are.
And that's what the enemy uses.
They are distractions from getting us from one point to the next to where we need to be at. And not saying we're not going to get there, it's just a delay from what it may be.
Yeah.
So that's what I
have to say. That's so powerful. Yeah, you know, the weight is heavy until you start lifting it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You may be lifting a weight. Maybe it's 50 pounds. You used to lifting those 2-pound weights. You get into that 50. That's heavy to you. But when you start lifting it regularly, it's no longer heavy to you. You're going to need more weight on that bar. Because now 50 is easy for you because you built the muscle for that lifting. You built the capacity for that kind of carry. And that's the whole process of life, is the Father continuing to build the capacity for us to carry, you know, for us to not only carry the kingdom, but to express it, for it to come out of us, for it to flow out of us. Not just because we're quoting scripture, you know, that's not the kingdom, you know. Notice the master, when he sat with the multitudes, he never quoted the scripture. He gave them parables. He talked to them. He gave them stories. He gave them, you know, like y'all, anybody ever read Aesop's Fables? There's a moral to this story. You know, I'm going to give you conversations that make you think. The thing that most people don't think is thinking ain't often thinking. We often meditating on the wrong thing. We're not thinking necessarily. We're misusing meditation. Because if he said meditate on my word and I'm meditating on all the negative things in life, I'm not thinking. I'm meditating on the wrong thing, and that's why I'm producing something that I don't want. But if I'm thinking on these things that he's given me to think on, then I'm going to produce something different. If I'm thinking, that means there's something that I'm reading. There's something that I'm consuming. Everything that we're consuming, they are forming thoughts for us. They're forming ideologies, they're forming concepts for us. And this is why we must be mindful of what's going into our gates, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, all of these things, our heart. All of these things are places that the adversary is looking to have access to so that he can begin to plant something so we'll conceive something. He's looking to have a baby. That's what he's always been about, conceiving something in humankind that creates an environment that's different than what the Father ordained. This is why the Father's saying, what's preventing you from loving me? I've already proven myself. There's nothing else I need to prove. I don't owe you any proof. I've already proven myself. You just didn't see it as proof because it wasn't the way that you wanted it. It wasn't what you wanted to hear in the moment. You wanted it to be easier. And I'm saying, no, my yoke is easy. I know this looks like it's hard, but it's not. The way you're going is harder than what I'm doing. What's the word he said? The way of the transgressor is hard, yet you've had it hard. It's been a hard way because you've been transgressing. In other words, you've been going the opposite direction of what I've been saying. But now that you recognize, I'm not mad at you for going the opposite direction. Understand. He understands the way that we take. He understands the lineage that we come out of, the family that we come out of, the family bent. He understands all of that. And he's considered all of that. But yet he still called you. And he said, I'm calling you to me. Just come on. You know how that mother or that father puts that baby down and they're getting ready to walk for the first time? You put them all the way over there. And you say, come on. Come on. You knew that they were going to fall down. You knew that they were going to start crawling at times because you know how they go through that stage where, okay, I'm trying to walk, but okay, bump it, I'm crawling. I'm coming to you, but I'm crawling. Okay, you're like, no, come on, get up. That's what he's been doing up until this time. And now that you're on your feet again, he's saying, let your legs be strengthened. There's a supernatural move that's going to take place in your legs. It's the same strength that was given to the man that was at the gate called Beautiful, that was looking at Peter and the other disciple that was going into the temple at the time. And he was thinking he wanted something from them that was a physical thing. You know, I need your money. I'm not supposed to look at you. So I'm not going to look at you, but I'm asking you for something, alms. I want what you possess. I need it so I can do what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to collect. I'm begging. Mm. And Peter took him from the begging place to the bountiful place, not just financially, but he got strength in his legs. Peter said, look on me. First of all, we're going to break all of the rules right now. We know that as a beggar, you're not supposed to look at the people you're asking from. This is a law. This is a rule. He said, we're about to break all the rules. First of all, I want you to look at me. Now, after you look on us, I don't have what you're asking me for to give to you right now. That's not what I'm here to give you. Silver and gold, no, I'm not giving you no money. But I'm going to give you what I possess that you need the most. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. This is something I do possess, I'm going to give it to you. What I got, I'm transferring it to you. Get up and walk. And the word says immediately he received strength in his leg. It's like the conversation we had about the butterfly, where the butterfly's eyes is positioned. It doesn't know it has wings. It's never even seen its wings. But when it comes out of that chrysalis, out of that cocoon, it automatically, innately knows I can fly. And it spreads its wings and it begins to move. It's the same thing. In faith, I mean, how crazy is this? First of all, you're going to make me look at you. I'm not supposed to do that. Then you're going to tell me you're not going to give me what I'm asking for, but you're going to give me something more potent, which is what I need. See, oftentimes we're thinking the thing that we need is what the Father's going to do. And he said, you don't even need that. That's not what I'm getting ready to do right now. You think that's what you need right now, but I got something much bigger. I got something much bigger. But I'm going to let you go through your process because you got to go through your processes so you can get to this direction, this place that I'm leading you. You got to go through your processes. What you think you need is not what you need. I know what you need. So stop leaning on your understanding and lean into me so I can lead you by my spirit to the place that you need to be.
Yes.
Let me lead. Come on, love me because I've loved you with an everlasting love. I saw you when you were naked in your own blood. I saw you. I picked you up. I cleaned you up. I salted you. I swaddled you. It was me that brought you out of that place. You didn't bring yourself out. I brought you out. And so regardless of all that you've been through and the fact that you should be mentally loopy right now based on your circumstances and what you've seen, but I kept you from crazy. That ought to be enough for you to trust me. How much more do I need to do for you to hear me when I'm speaking? How much more do I need to prove for you to understand when I send someone to say something to you and to take you in a direction, that they're not just talking from up under their armpit. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Why won't you love me? What's it going to take? I'm trying to lead you to a promised place. I'm trying to lead you to a place of establishment. I'm trying to establish you. Not just settle you, but establish you. I'm not going back into the wilderness. I'm not wandering in this season. And I declare that the sons of Yah that are connected here and that are listening all over the world, this is not your season of wandering or wandering. This is a season of acquisition for us. So what I love about what Elder said, she said, I repent. And that's what we were just talking about before you got online, Elder. It's okay, we're going to realize some things, but when we realize that we're going to repent, we want to ask a bunch of questions about how we got there. You know, those things will be ironed out. Those things will be, they'll show up in the rinse. You know what I'm saying? It's some things that the Father say, okay, now this is how you wound up over there. But if I need the answer to how I got there before I get delivered, before I let him wash me with his word, before I say, you know what, I'm going in the other direction. However I got there, that let it be what it is for now. But right now, however I wound up there, this ain't where I'm going to stay.
Yes.
This is not my location. I'm at the wrong address. When you wind up at the wrong address, do you say, now how did I get here? No. You're going to look at the address. Okay, I'm at the wrong address. Let me go over here. Now, you might later say, oh, I know what happened. The GPS did this or that and the other. And okay, that's fine. But in the moment that you need deliverance, you need to move, not determine how you got there. We're not wasting any time in this season trying to figure out how we got somewhere. We're just going to cry out like Peter. Help. Yeah. And when I cry out for help, then I'm going to defy the odds. It's when I cry out for help, understanding that I can't do this by myself. And if I'm paying attention to the distraction, then I'm not going to do this thing that I'm destined to do. The distractions could be fear, disbelief, whatever those distractions are. If I give attention to the distraction, I'm not going to reach destiny. So we determine today not to be affected by the distractions of darkness because they're hurling them. But you said, Father, that we would quench the fiery darts of the wicked one based on how we're functioning. If we're in alignment with what you're telling us to do, if we have the sword of the spirit, which is the word, if we have that breastplate of righteousness, if we're doing the things that you told us to do, if we're wearing what you told us to wear, then there's a stance that we can take regardless of what's being thrown at us. There's a position that we can hold regardless of whatever is being said around us. Thank you today. We thank you today for the lives that you've allowed us to witness in your word, for the things that you've spoken to us. May this be the hour that we begin to realize that even as you have called those sons, that you have called us to function a certain way, to move a certain way, to do a certain thing, and that the purpose that you put in us is the reason why we're persons right now. That's the only reason why we're people, is because you purposed us for something. We thank you right now for what you're bringing us to and what you brought us through. This is an hour to speak truth to power and so to declare a thing. And so once you've spoken to us and you've positioned us, we're going to open up our mouths. You said, don't even think about what it is you need to say, because when you get to the place I'm calling you to, all you need to do is open your mouth and I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fill it. We have no fear of what might be the conversation when we get where we're going, because you have promised to fill our mouths. So we're not asking you to do things you already said you would do. Now, oftentimes in prayer, we're asking the Father, so Father, do this. And, you know, so Father, we need you to do. He like, I already did that. What you going to do? What you going to do about what I've already done? Yesterday, I believe it was, we were talking about when you behind and you look up, you know, you're trying to, as a kid, you walking home or whatever, and you figure out you're behind. Maybe you're looking in your backpack or you walk along doing something. You realize you're behind. Guess what you do? You run to catch up because you desire to catch up with with the crowd. You desire to catch up with your crew. He said, "You come on, catch up. Put your running shoes on. You need to run after me in this season. You need to catch up. You've been behind, but I'm going to redeem the time. But it needs to be your heart to catch up. To catch up. And I'm going to advance you past that place. We're going to advance together. We're going to move forward into this victory that I've spoken over your life before you even hear. Yeah, you have purpose, but you also have promises in place. You were born for purpose, but you were also born for promise. So a lot of times we get stuck in the purposes of things, what we're supposed to be doing, but we don't think about the fact that there's a promise connected to that purpose and even to that pain. The enemy knows that if we feel a little bit of pain, we might relent, we might go back, we might do something different. But you got to push through it. I love that you said, Elder, I realize that if I have this method, if I use it, I might, you know, I might move from the place of pain.
Yeah,
I'm moved from the place of pain if I keep utilizing and start moving the muscles that aren't used to being moved. At some point, they're not going to be painful anymore. Then the next pain will be going, we're going to the next level. When I want to go to the next level, now I may experience pain again because now I'm challenging my muscles to do something more. Pain is just about capacity. That's all it's about. And if you see it right, you'll become what you need to become. Pain is just about capacity. So, Father, we thank you for the capacity today to do it your way. It's our desire that your kingdom come, that your will be done in the earth. Because this is why you put us here, to execute your will. So we thank you for it, man. And we love you. The line is open if you have anything to share before we get out. Feel free. Feel free. I was thinking about something that came up for me the other day as I was writing. I saw something. What I saw, I believe, has a lot to do with the sons of this hour. And I'm certain this word was not just for me, but it's for the sons at large. When he was discussing this company that was rising in the world that will not be denied, that I saw, this was a couple of days ago on the 26th or 24th, maybe the 23rd or 24th, I saw a dressing coming from my mouth. And my arms were back and my feet were slanted. And I was kind of leaning forward. But there was a gushing coming from my mouth, and it was unstoppable. And I'm feeling a sensation like butterflies you get when you're excited just talking about it. I also felt that in that moment when I was leaning forward and my arms were back, my fists were balled up, and there was just something just forceful just coming out of me. And one of the things that the Father began to speak to me, and I believe this is for many of you that are listening and will listen, that it's a lot of things that we need to surrender, but for many of us, you need to surrender your strength. And I'm going to let you ponder on that. I'm not going to go all the way into it. I'm going to let you talk to the Father about just surrendering your strength, right? Because some of you are so strong. You're so used to being the go-to. You're so used to being, you know, so you need to surrender your strength in this field. You need to surrender your strength.
You're going in and out.
Somebody's needed to be muted because I think that might be why I'm going in and out. Can you just let me know that you can hear me a little bit better now? I think that was contending with my voice. I was saying that a lot of you need to surrender your strength. It's not that you're so weak. It's not that you need to surrender your time as much as it is you need to surrender your strength because you're used to doing things And because you're used to being in control of how you do those things, then you're strong in some areas where your strength needs to be surrendered to accomplish the thing that he's calling you to. You need to surrender your strength, those areas that you're strong in, because he's bigger than that strength that you are in that position. That's releasing that me-centric paradigm again and being transformed by the we-centric paradigm. Because he said, it's us, it's we that is accomplishing, you that's accomplishing, and me that is completing. You're going to accomplish a thing because I'm completing a thing in you. And it's not yours alone. It's my story. I used to refer to the Father's story. It's his story, like history, his story. And the whole point of his story is to know it so that a thing is not repeated, so that we don't go back to the garden and do the thing that Adam did. So we don't deal with how Saul didn't follow the instructions. So we don't do the things that we have identified as things that separate us or separate the oil from us, separate his glory, his doings on our lives. We're not doing what we do, even in this moment, to be something to him. We do what we do every morning at 8 o'clock because we are something to him. So our voice has to be positioned to be heard because of who we are already, not because of who we're trying to be. The difference between religion and relationship is that from one place, I do because I am. From the religious place, I do to become. Right? We love you today, Father, and we thank you for revealing to us the information that will bring reformation, that will bring transformation. And as we are transformed, we know that we can never go back to the caterpillar when we become a butterfly. So we don't even seek to go back to that way of doing things. We don't seek that low place. We're not looking to crawl. We're looking to fly when it's time to fly. And you said that you make all things beautiful in your time. So we're not doubting you because we don't see the end of what's already spoken to us. We are thankful that you've shown us the end, and whatever it's going to take to get us to that end, we receive it now. We receive it now. We believe it, and we receive it to conceive it, to release it in the earth that you put us in, so that men will see your good works. We want men to see his good works today. I love you guys. We'll be on in the morning at 8. Be here with us. I don't know what the Father wants to do, but I know he's still laying foundation, so we're going to get back to the names and to the psychology, the dark psychology of these spies. But I believe that over the next 21 days, there's something so amazing that he wants to do in all of us. And he can have his way, and his will is going to be done. Peace to your house. The body's not a me thing. It's a weak thing. Love you much. See you in the morning.
Love you all. Peace.
Love you much.
Love you.
Love you.